G'day, Chris. I suppose just to start up, clearly Brandon Parfitt's going to be an out. Have you decided on who's going to replace him?
Yeah, we have Dan, but we're not going to make it public until we release the team.
Fair enough. Can you give us any hints?
No, you guys are good enough to work out who the candidates are. We've got our whole list over here, but we don't have anyone coming back from injury, I don't think, as we did last week with Tui. So yeah, it will be from the squad from the last couple of weeks.
Mitch Duncan's played most of the return as a half forward or a half back and pushing back behind the footy against Port. Is there an option to put him into the midfield and increase his midfield minutes? Is his body up to that and to replace Parfitt in that role and then maybe bring in another half forward?
Yeah, with the exception of match practice, Mitch is in full health. So we don't feel as if there are any restrictions around what role we can play him in. Obviously, we'd like him to have played more footy, but I think he's a bit similar to a few of our guys in that there is some upside there in that they haven't had an arduous, lengthy season. So the cumulative effect of that load. Is more of, or the lack of that cumulative load is a positive for them. So Dangerfield's in that category. Cameron, Mitch Duncan, there are one or two others as well.
I'm sure your focus, Chris, has been on Melbourne and this week, but will there be time to look at the cause behind some of these soft tissue injuries, particularly late in the season?
Oh, that's always our process. Lockie, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. It's not as if we need to wait until everything dies down before we look at these things. It's always a constant process of review and analysis. And it's disappointing for those guys because, to a man, they've been really hard workers and been really important to what we've done. But as I've said a few times this year, we've been able to overcome less than full availability all year. We've had at least a handful of our very best players unavailable for big chunks of the year. So we would have liked it to come together a little bit better by now, but we've still got a team that can win a couple of games.
And I know it's a different category of injury, but just with Tom, and again, I know your focus is on this week, but are you able to sort of highlight to us what he would need to do if you were to win on Friday, and when a decision gets made? Do you give him up until the Saturday morning of grand final to prove himself right, or do you need to make a call earlier than that?
Lockie, I'll indulge you and only you once when it comes to looking forward. Tom is on a program that was laid out by the very best medical experts, and anyone that questions that, especially when they're a level below that expertise, doesn't really know what they're talking about. So he's following a plan that was laid out right from the start. And he just keeps ticking off those days. So that's the process we're going to work through. And if he makes it, he makes it. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. There's not going to be much room for grey there. It's going to be a really binary decision.
Chris,
What
I
did
know
you make of?
spoken at length this week about how relevant a game a month ago is. Are you someone who likes to focus or reinforce the positives of certain performance or performances or more highlight some areas of improvement when you've got a game that was so different from, three quarters to the final?
Oh, well, I mean, hopefully we've got good balance. Hopefully we're not so positive and all Ted Lasso on, our optimism, because there were parts of that game that weren't good enough. But there were lessons learned sort of on both sides of the coin that, especially given it was so recent, have some relevance. Now, there's a few shifts to our personnel, which some will help, some will hurt. But when you get two teams that have been pretty much entrenched in the top four all year, playing late in the season, then meeting again in the finals, it would always be a surprise in that situation if the teams were going to play a completely different style. So yeah, I think that's a little bit more relevant than some of the historic encounters that are referenced at this time of year.
So how do you assess your form, Chris?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. Not perfect. Our last month of the home and away season wasn't quite as good as we would have liked. But within games, there were really good patches there. So that was the challenge for us. It wasn't as if we just hadn't seen our best footy. We just hadn't seen it consistently throughout games. And you know, we've got an understanding that if you can't bring that in games like prelim finals against high-quality opponents, you're going to be in trouble. So we thought to some extent we found that a bit last week. But the challenges just get greater from here. But, yeah, we think we're capable.
Can you limit Clayton Oliver's influence without upsetting your own sort of structure in the midfield too much, Chris?
Yeah, you can, but it's a question for both sides. So how much are you prepared to give to try to stop the best opposition midfielders? And there is a really clear line there for us where trying to stop them becomes an overall negative for the way that our team wants to play. So I suspect there'll be a little bit of both teams trying to get the game on their terms and be proactive with their midfielders, you know, with a couple of contingencies if that's not working. But, yeah, I think it's folly to go in thinking that, you know, Petrarca and Viney and Oliver and those guys need to have really low possession games for us to win. I don't agree with that notion.
Joel Selwood has had a couple of quieter games statistically, at least. Clearly, no one's doubting that the greatness of his tenure at the club. But do you think you need a bit more from him if you're going to win this game, given how strong Melbourne's midfield is?
I'm prepared to back him in, Dan. Their midfield's really good. We've got great respect for them. I'm not going to diminish them in any way, shape, or form. But we are going to back in our midfield. They're pretty good players.
Did you like enough of what you saw from Asav Radigalia's role on the weekend to commit to him again for this week?
I think it's likely, Mitch. I mean, I think I've said to you quite a few times that I'm a real believer in what Asava can be. And more than that, I'm a believer in what he is right now. He's been a little bit limited at times throughout the year. We'd probably prefer to play him as a forward second ruck, not the other way around. And, you know, I think that part of our game has come together at the right time. So, yeah, I think he can be an imposing force for us, even if he doesn't get a whole lot of the ball.
How big can his influence be in stopping and limiting the impact of Stephen May and Jake Lever? I know Lever's second half against you last time around was pretty important to their result.
I would reframe that as Lever and May have got to stop our guys. That's the way we're looking at it.
Hey, Chris, Tommy Hawkins, how's that thigh is going? Shane Mumford gave him a nice corky, I think, last week.
Yeah, he's fine. I think, yeah. Is that the best Mummy can do?
He's probably not the only one of your boys on the end of something from Mummy. But and just on the prelim finals, are you a subscriber that it's the hardest game of the year to win?
Isaac Smith said that, I'm told, and he's got more experience than I do in that respect, I think. And he's a smart cookie, so I'm going to back him in. Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue. They're all hard at this time of year.
Yeah, but you feel like, I mean, you're probably going to have to go up a gear, do you think, from what you've produced in probably the past month to get over Melbourne, do you think?
No, I think we're just going to have to play close to our best. And, I don't agree with the notion at all that we need to knock it out of the park to win.
Just lastly, you touched on it after the game on the weekend, but the final experience, I think you've got about four times the total games played in finals, but and compared to Melbourne, I mean, how big of an impact do you think that'll be come the crunch time, you know, big preliminary final, you know, scores 11 in the last quarter, you know, scenarios like that?
Yeah, I think their situation is for them to concern themselves about. I'm not going to speculate on how they might handle it or how they might be feeling. But I prefer to have a bit more experience than less, like from our side of things. Yeah, I think it helps a tiny little bit at the margin. That won't be the primary reason we play well or not. I think probably just as relevant as that, maybe even more, is the fact that the games between the two teams have tended to be pretty tight, which You know, you can look back and say, well, they're just random encounters over a long period of time and not so relevant to the now. But it may well indicate that the teams match up pretty well. I think, you know, the point's already been made that their midfield's really strong. We're certainly not going to be too reactive in there. We've got a really good midfield that we'll back in as well, potent ahead of the ball. And if those two parts of the game go well for one team or the other, their defence is going to look pretty good behind it. But yeah, I don't think either team, you know, as good as their defence is, I don't think they're going to be saying if we just get overwhelmed with entries that we're just going to be able to keep repelling them.
Max Gorn looms large. Chris, he's a great player. Any special plans or different plans to take on him?
Yeah, I mean, we always have plans for the best players. But I guess the one-on-one matchup will be really, really interesting. I thought, you know, I really liked Reece Stanley's game last time we played. It was only round 23. So, yeah, I'm excited at that matchup.
Do you think your backline has now sort of found its groove again after after Tom's injury? It might have taken a little bit of time to sort of settle without him, but do you think they looked a little bit more settled last week, and you're happy with sort of where you're at heading into Friday night?
Yeah, happier, Lockie. I think when you take your best player out of an area of the ground, there's always a period of instability there. And so Tom's that. You know, Mark O'Connor's important to that group as well. So, yeah, I think last week and getting Zach Tui back will help stabilise us a bit.
Just on Tom's injury, how disappointed were you at the criticism levelled at your medical staff? I know you've been strong in defending your medicos this year. I think they were described as delusional by Dr. Peter Larkins. What did you make of those comments?
No, well, it was only relayed to me just before we started this press conference. And I should say that I'll have to go after this one, so I'll make this the last answer. We're confident that we have the very best people, you know, in Australia certainly, but maybe even the world who are across this. So someone in the medical profession who hasn't had the opportunity to look at the situation in detail, throwing haymakers like that from a cheap seat, so I think he's highly unprofessional. But maybe he doesn't consider his role in the game now to be one of a medical professional first. Maybe he's an entertainer. So I take it in the context of that.